listening to An Inside Look with North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. How do I land a big deal in my community? What are location consultants really looking for? Join us as we pull back the curtain and look inside the secrets of site selection with your hosts, Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
We're so glad you're joining us today for An Inside Look, North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. I'm Amanda, and I'm here with Tim, who again had the pleasure of interviewing another good friend to Consultant Connect, a good friend of the site consulting industry. He is the Senior Managing Director of Newmark, Grubb, Knight, Frank, Rajiv Takur.
I did. I had a great time with Rajiv, and what I love about him is when you're talking to Rajiv, you're talking to a professional. This man's level of education, his attention to detail, his expertise around site selection is really unparalleled. And here's the other thing about Rajiv that I really enjoyed, especially in this interview, is that he really focuses on the role of authenticity in marketing your community and being who you are.
Mm-hmm. And that authenticity piece is huge.
It's huge. You don't have to be somebody else as a community. You can just be you. So enough of this talk, and let's hear it from the source himself. Ladies and gentlemen, Rajiv Takur.
Rajiv, this is Tim Tarantine. Welcome to the podcast. How are you today?
Hello, Tim. Doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Outstanding. Congratulations on being selected by your peers as one of the top 50 site consultants in the United States. I tell you, as we kind of unpack who you are as a leader and what you're doing in this site selection world, tell us three things everyone should know about you.
Okay, three things. So I was born in India, so you can probably hear it in my accent, before I migrated to the United States. And I studied architecture and urban planning, and then I transitioned to consulting. And third, what I like to do is I like to visit national parks at least two or three a year, and I support environmental conservation initiatives, and national parks being one of them. So that, but I love cities as well, and I'm highly interested in urban core development.
Outstanding. So let's peel that back a little bit further. You talked about your interest in urban planning and development and the environment. How did you, all of those interests combined, how did you get into site selection? Take us back to your kind of entrance into this world of site selection.
Right. So when I was an architect, you know, that's what I studied. So that's how I started. And I felt that I was very low down on the decision hierarchy. So if the company wanted to achieve something, their requirements came to me rather than I going to them and helping them with a decision. And so slowly I transitioned away from design into strategy. And then I went back to business school, and then I worked for a big four company, and I worked for different practices, and one of them was site selection, and I loved it because it brought together buildings, real estate, corporate decisions, it allowed me to travel, go to new communities, get to learn about different places, meet new people, and I loved it. So I stayed with it, and that's what I do today.
Wow, and you've stayed with it now for quite some time. You've been in the business. You're doing this work at a very high level. When you look across the United States and communities that, quote unquote, get it or are best practices, tell us about a community or a type of community who really understands how to get this work done and who have gone kind of above and beyond. So give us kind of that best practice community. What does that community do? What do the economic development and municipal leaders do when they really hit a home run?
Okay, so in a recent project that was announced in Louisville, Kentucky, we found that the community was very creative and about presenting an urban core strategy for a project that would normally go to the suburbs. So if you have a back office or a call center type of project, they need free parking, right? Because employees don't earn as much to be able to pay for parking every day. So such projects tend to go to the suburbs. But they were very creative about making it happen on Main Street in the city. And, you know, their mayor was very, very involved. Mayor Fisher is a great leader. And he was very available. He made the company feel very welcome. And so altogether, I think it was the total package. And it might not have been the cheapest place to do business, but it was almost there. But everything else around it, the soft factors, made this thing happen.
Wow. So you talked about the soft factors.
Yes.
What are those key issues for your clients or for companies today? And what can economic developers and communities do to address those key issues? Because sometimes it's not just money. Sometimes it's not just workforce. You said soft issues, but they tend to be overwhelming. So tell us what those issues are and what we can do about it.
Well, the soft factors are not really anything different than what you already do. It's presenting the best face, but then being very sincere and honest about it. So you have to be truthful to yourself, and it'll show. So if you're really excited about it and if you believe in it, it really shows. And that's what happened in Louisville. They were very excited about getting this company into downtown, and they knew that it's the best fit, and they presented everything factually because facts supported their excitement and their enthusiasm.
So, Rajiv, you talked about Kentucky as a great community. You talked about this kind of soft factor in the issues. For communities with a limited budget, and many of the communities who are marketing to you don't have huge budgets, as you know, what are the most effective tools to invest in? What should those communities really be investing in to compete in this global market?
So mostly, you know, we're trying to communicate to clients and they want to see what you have. So having a good website is a basic, so I won't say that's a tool that'll differentiate you. But if you don't have the money to spend, you don't have to. You use, let's say one thing I'll suggest is use Google Maps and Google Earth extensively. You can map things on these, save them as files or projects, and then save them on your desktop and then share them. So it's very easy and effective way because with Google Maps, you already have an underlying layer of information that you don't have to recreate in GIS. So yes, GIS is very powerful, but to do everyday work, to just share information, I think Google Maps and Google Earth are free resources that you should explore thoroughly and see the extent of stuff that you can do on them and then use them.
Outstanding. So using those tools and all the tools that are kind of in the market today for marketing a community, which ones really grab your attention? Which ones work best on you personally?
Well, marketing, I would say, again, I'll go back to the best marketing tool is truthfulness. The point is that we will eventually find out what the truth is. So don't rely on hyperbole or exaggeration. Because if we find out something different than what you're saying, then it makes a bad impression on clients and on consultants. Now, good consultants will not punish a community because of insincerity on the part of a single economic developer, because that won't be fair. But some might. And it is in your interest to attract a company that is likely to be successful. Don't try to just get anyone in your community somehow and then let them fail. It'll only create stress in your community and workforce when people lose jobs. So I think when you talk about marketing, it comes back to just be truthful to yourself and to your community.
I have a feeling with all of you of what you've said to this point that I know the answer to this ending question, but I'm going to get you out of here on this.
Sure.
If you could tell a room full of economic developers one thing, what would it be?
Yeah. So again, it's well, you might convince others, but you will always know the truth yourself. So I don't want to be preachy, but I suppose that's what you're asking me to be.
Sure.
So you should push the envelope by all means. Be creative and you know, promote your community by all means. But if you don't have the assets to support a particular client, then it would be a disservice to both the company and your community to do so. So on the other hand, if a company wants to be in your community for reasons other than business, so for instance, so there was an example where a lawyer from Wheeling, West Virginia, left and worked in D.C., but then he wanted to take some business back to his community, and he put the back office in that town when there was nothing there, right? So it wasn't a business decision. It was a personal, emotional decision. But then that community really pulled it together and helped them succeed. If there are other reasons, then be creative, but do it for the right reasons. So I'll get off my soapbox now.
Well, we appreciate the soapbox. It helps our industry, and we really appreciate everything you do. Rajiv, thanks for being one of North America's top 50 site consultants.
Thank you, Tim. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.